James, come on up here. All right.
3 minutes.
Yes, sir.
3 minutes.
Each week or the next several weeks, we're going to give you a little taste of Nigeria. And whatever questions you had left over that you wanted to ask someone, where's Dr. Birch? Lafayette Birch, right back there. He'll be willing to answer all your questions that we didn't answer about Nigeria.
Dusty asked me to share briefly this morning for 3 minutes, so somebody timed me, but about a guy that we met at the hotel that we were staying at. So I'm going to start with something that I wrote in my journal, and last week I kind of shared with you how I started to struggle while I was there, but this is what I wrote. What did I come to Nigeria for? Did I come for some mountaintop experience? Did I come so I could see miracles? Did I come so my spiritual cup could be filled? No, I came so I could be poured out. I did not come to meet the Holy Spirit. I brought the Holy Spirit with me. I was the vehicle, the instrument, the pill counter, the living word. I came very close to leaving Nigeria perplexed. I was searching in all the normal places. But a servant does not wait and watch to see if his master is pleased. A brickmaker does not watch his bricks dry. We must stop waiting to be ministered to and start doing the ministering. It is not enough to believe. Doing God's work is dirty. It takes faith, willingness, and trust that when we are doing God's work, he will be faithful to complete it. When we are doing God's work, we cannot step back to admire our work. We must press on. We will have an eternity to see the impact God has used us to make. I had it all mixed up. I don't make the impact. God allows me to be his applicator. The gentleman's name that I'm going to be talking about, his name is Ephaim, and I normally pronounce it about three different ways, so if I pronounce it a different way, I'm sorry, but that's my best I can do with Ibu. But either way, first day we got there, he's about my age, and he came up to Gary and I, and he said, do y'all want to go see the market? And he wasn't one of the appointed security people to make sure we were okay, but he took us to the market and showed us around, and I kind of knew that something was going to happen between he and I from the get-go, and he said the same thing. And one of the things that he initially mentioned, you know, was how much he loved America, American people, and he really wanted to get to go to the United States. And I said, so one thing I can tell you is I don't think you'll be able to go to the United States until you fully, you know, decide to do what God wants you to do. So I've never led anyone to Christ before, and we'll finish that up in a second. But either way, Pastor White is another person who went with us, and talked to her a lot, and her and I one day got the opportunity to talk to him, and we talked to him for about 45 minutes, and we found out that his mother had had him christened when he was born. There's a heavy Catholic influence where we were, and he had gone to school for accounting and had decided to work at the hotel because his brother owned the hotel, and you know, he was just had a you know, positive energy about him, but just was kind of caught up in a lot of different things. But I was struggling with all this, but in the midst of all that, I was able just to kind of share with him about who I was, and, you know, showed him pictures of my family. I even let him talk to Stephanie on the phone one night. She didn't understand a word he said, but, you know, it worked out. He kind of designated himself as my and Laura's protector at one point to take us to the Owerri market, the big market. But I asked him if he had a Bible. He said no, not one that he could understand. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you my Bible, but let me get some of my notes out of it. So early one morning, after I had prayed, I was sitting on Dusty's porch and, you know, just kind of praying and writing some things. And I think I just got done writing this, actually. But he came up to me and said, are you going to give me your Bible? And, I mean, people there, they tell you what they mean and what they want. You know, they don't hold back. So I said, yeah, I want to give that to you. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, I know you said you're a Christian, but I said, have you ever said the sinner's prayer? And he said, no. And, like I said, I've never, you know, led anyone to Christ or through the sinner's prayer. And I said, well, do you want to do that? And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, God, I've never done this. I don't know what to do. Start flipping through the Bible. Where's the sinner's prayer? But Dusty kind of heard what was going on, and he was praying. I could hear him praying. I don't know if he knew I heard him praying, but he came out, and we prayed for him right there, and he asked Christ to come into his life. And Gary can attest to this, there was an immediate change. I mean, he went, not that he was a sad person, I mean, he has a natural energy, but the light on his face, the joy that immediately came into his life was amazing. So we left for medical missions that day and came back at the end of the day, and he quoted about 40 scriptures at me and said, what do you think of that? I said, that's good. But we found out kind of that we're kindred spirits. He writes everything down in a journal. Everything. He says every day he goes home and writes down in a journal. And then that night, Gary was playing his guitar and singing, and we were kind of fellowshipping, and he was there. And there's a gentleman, CY. I think we showed a picture of him last week. And I really wanted him to meet CY because I thought they would be a great, you know, it would be great for them to meet. And I've been trying to get that to happen ever since we've been there. And all of a sudden, who shows up out of the night? CY shows up. So we got to introduce them. And I know that CY has done, you know, cultivated that seed that God allowed me to plant. But then we find out that he plays a guitar and he snatches Gary's guitar and he starts finger picking and going crazy like some like Jimi Hendrix. But, well, you know, at least with the talent, minus the other stuff. But Gary felt led to give him his guitar that he had just purchased. And it was just a great time in the middle of the night with no electricity, watching this person who had the joy of Christ all over him. And I'm holding a flashlight, and Gary's playing the guitar, and Ephaim is teaching Gary Ebu, how to sing his song in Ebu. So, you know, I'm definitely an imperfect vehicle, and, you know, despite all the struggle, God used me. So if we're faithful and willing, and we have the prayer of all of you all that were praying, God does a great work, you know, despite who we are. And it doesn't have to be in Nigeria. It can be, you know, right here or at work or at home doing homeschool or wherever it is. It has to be that way. That's the only way. We have to be what CY is. We have to be freelance evangelists. So I don't know if that was 3 minutes, but.
I had the best seat in the house, just, you know, listening and watching what God was doing, a miracle on both sides of the coin taking place. It's a wonderful thing. Today, if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Wonderful thing about going through a book of the Bible is that you can't dodge anything. It's a wonderful thing because you have to look at the whole theological perspective of things. As we said a couple of weeks ago, 1 Peter now, we're deep enough into it, it has taken a real practical turn. Practical, worked out theology. And today we're going to talk about marriage. Living hope for your marriage. Now, I want to ask something of you today. I realize we have all been culturally tinted with our ideas, where we grew up, what we were taught about marriage. But I'm going to ask you this today. Would you please listen to the Word of God and to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you today? Would you do that today? Instead of, well, I've got my mind made up about this. You know, God created your mind. He created you. So let's listen to what He has to say to us today. Now, as a word of background, let me tell you just a little bit about marriage and the place of women in the day in which this passage of Scripture was written. The Greeks of the day in which this book was originally penned in Greek, here was their theme for women. See little, hear little, ask little. Be away. No independence. In Greek culture, a man could divorce his wife on a whim, just like that. All he had to do was return the dowry. In the Roman world, a woman had no rights. A wife had no rights. She was essentially a child forever, in perpetuity. In fact, they had a saying, patria potestas, which meant under the Father's power. They believed all the girls were under the Father's power, and then when she got married, that power was passed on to the husband. Does this sound like American culture? Yeah, okay. And in Jewish law by this time, essentially, in a lot of places, the wife was essentially owned by the husband. And she could be dismissed, divorced, for burning the supper. All right. Now, doesn't sound too good, does it? I want you to know the culture in which the Holy Spirit was using Peter to write this to the body. Now let's read what he has to say. I got to get a little bit closer. My eyeglasses are in the shop. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says this: "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them," that is the husbands, "are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And you husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that you would open our hearts, that you would give us understanding of your word, clear and plain today. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, hang in here with me through the whole thing. Let's go to our first point. God has established an order in life. Now, if you go to Ephesians, you keep your finger there in 1 Peter. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, we find a scripture that I know a lot of men have memorized. And in fact, men that can't even quote John 3:16 know Ephesians 5:22, where it says, what does it say? I've got to get a little bit closer. "And you wives will submit to your husbands as to the Lord." They can quote that. But let me tell you the scriptures they can't quote. Let me tell you the ones that go before that. Okay? Here are the ones that go before that. Verse 16 says this: "And make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days." Now, what that means is God wants us to come in agreement with his purposes in the earth. His purposes, that we know Him, have a relationship with Him, and make Him known in the earth. So if we're going to do good in the world, everything in our life has to be about that. And that's why Peter begins chapter 3 even in talking about marriage and about talking about husbands that may not know the Lord. He's thinking of these husbands coming to know the Lord. So I want you to see the setup of it. The setup of it in God's order is that His plan overarches everything. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 18. And don't be drunk with wine when there's excess, or as New Living says, because you'll ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. So, before we even get to the relationship of a husband and wife, we're under God's authority to do good. We have been commanded, and it's a command there, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit as individuals before God and as His body. Let's go on. Verse 21. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, who's He talking to? He's talking to the whole body, men and women. So before you even get to the relationship of husband and wife, we're under God's authority, we're filled with the Holy Spirit commanded, and we are commanded to submit to one another. Do you get that? So as believers, we humble ourselves before one another. Now we get to 22, where it says, and wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, as the head in the home. God has placed the husband as head. We're going to get to that in 1 Peter in just a moment. But I like what this lady said at this conference. She said, "He's the head, but I'm the neck." Do you get this? That head ain't going anywhere, that neck don't go. It's together as God has ordained it. Okay. Then he says, and husbands, love your wives in the same way, in the same love Christ showed for the church, and He gave up His life for her. So, wives submit, but then on the other side, it says, husband, you be willing to lay down your life for your wife. Okay. That's God's order of things. That's clear and plain. Now let's go back to 1 Peter. All right, go on, John, with the... come on through to our next slide. We come in agreement with God's purposes. We've already gone through these. We submit to Him with the filling of the Holy Spirit. We submit to fellow believers in the spirit and manner in which Jesus submitted Himself and His purpose. And then follow the order of family relationships. All right. Then number two. A wife is to willingly and voluntarily submit herself to her husband, as it says here in the scripture. Now, first point under that is there needs to be a harmony between the profession of a person's faith and their possession of that in their lives. In other words, what they say with their mouth needs to be practiced with their feet and with their action. Now, why would I say that? How do I get that out of this 1 Peter passage? Well, it says there, if there are any husbands who do not know the Lord, what do they need to be looking at? Who is going to preach the message of Christ to them? And what is the most important thing that could happen in their lives? That they come to know Jesus. That they could be one then with Jesus and one in their family. He goes on. He talks about a woman's beauty. Second point under that. A woman's real beauty is not in what she puts on. He says there, let not your adornment be merely external. Now some have said they have preached against the braiding of hair and the wearing of gold. But I want you to know, if you preach against the braiding of hair and the wearing of gold, you also have to preach against the third thing in that list. What was it? Wearing clothes. Okay, do you see this? So you can't preach against the wearing of gold, the braiding of hair, because you'd have to also preach against the wearing of clothing. What you can say is that those things need to be in agreement with a woman's character. Because a real beauty is not found in what she puts on. Because look at this for just a moment. Who created that woman that God gave you, men? In His own image. The beauty that she really is. That looking into her and seeing even past the beauty of her external qualities, but to see the beauty that she is within, that God has created her to be. That is God's order. And so as He is given this message for the church there in their right relationships in the home, He said, this is where a woman's real beauty is, a wife's real beauty. See under that. What she puts on must be in agreement with her true character. In other words, her clothing, the way she does her hair, the jewelry that she wears needs to become in agreement with a woman's character that would enhance that. Do you understand me? You walk through the mall sometimes. Now, I can't see it through a woman's eyes. But let me tell you, there's sometimes I have to leave the mall because I become distracted. And let me tell you, if that is a woman showing her true character, you say, well that's your problem. No. There needs to be an agreement with a woman's character. She doesn't need to be showing everything that God gave her out in the mall in July in Savannah, Georgia. Now, I know some of you think, oh man, you're weird, Dusty. No, I just don't want to be distracted. I want to be distracted. And there are times I've actually left the mall. Now, are you hearing me, ladies, about this? About your character? Now, and that's not just a message to ladies, that's a message to men. That's a message to all of us. What we wear, what is on the outside, needs to show the message of who we are on the inside. Now, that's not putting a croaker sack over everybody. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. And that is not what this scripture teaches. That is not what it teaches. It is not teaching against jewelry. It is not teaching against the braiding of hair. It is teaching in agreement with a person's character, both inside and out. All right, the next thing. He talks about a gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit before the Lord is a true source of beauty. You say, oh, a gentle. Do you know two of the other three times that exact word is used in the Bible? Do you know who it refers to? Jesus. So, who is he saying here? That a wife needs to be like Jesus. And by the way, there is no figure in history that has raised the standard and the place of women in the world more than Jesus. Historically, don't even bother to investigate it. You know, you'll be going to a gunfight with a knife. There is no one that has raised the place of women in the world like Jesus. Because what's Jesus about? He is about putting us in our proper place in the world. A gentle and quiet spirit before the Lord. Now, he goes on and he talks away in verse 5 about the former times, holy women also hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husband. The sisterhood of very powerful women of God is a strong thread through the Bible. You look at it. Let me ask you, where would Abraham have been without Sarah? Where would he have been? God blessed him through her, and her through him. Sarah is a role model from the Old Testament. And finally, what does it say here in the last part of verse 6? It says, Sarah obeyed Abraham, called him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. What is he saying here? A woman, a wife, needs to live her life out of faith, not out of fear. Did you hear me on that? Fear is grasping, is protecting, and there is never intimacy. Never. But faith, there is openness. There is oneness. Because by the way, what is God's ideal of marriage? And the two shall become what? One. With Jesus as Lord. Now, quickly, let's move on. What does it say? A husband also has responsibility. A husband must first be submitted to the Lord. When he says likewise, because in the last several paragraphs, not just in chapter 3, but you go back on up in chapter 2, it's all about submission before God. A husband must be submitted to Jesus as his Lord. We're commanded to submit to him as Lord of our lives, to be led by him. Secondly, as a Christian, a husband must be submitted to other believers, people in his life, in his church body, to be submitted to others, where others can speak into his life. And by the way, let me give a commercial here for the cover of the body of Christ. Let me give a commercial. God has ordained that the body of Jesus be a place of covering and protection for us, because we need this body and we need the Holy Spirit to speak through us through the parts of the body, don't we? I've got my hand up first. We need to have that from one another. What happens when you get out from under the cover? Can I get a witness on that, anybody? What happens when you get out from under the cover? Right. Ryan, your daddy gave this testimony this morning. What happens when you get out from under the cover?
Things start falling apart.
Yes, sir. What happens when you get back under the cover?
The Lord will bless you.
That's right. That's right. And he has. And God, y'all didn't hear all the testimony this morning, but God blessed Ryan this weekend and saved him from some stupidity in his own life. Did I speak it correctly? All right. I've known this boy all his life. But back to being submitted to one another, we need to be able to receive from other people that can speak into our lives and say, you know, son, you know, I've been watching you. You know, one of your buds comes up to you and says, you know, look, you know, you need to consider this in your life. What's going on? We need that from one another. That's the Spirit of God using the body. Third, a husband needs to bear the responsibility of leading the family. What does that mean, men? It means you got to step up to the plate. You got to get in the batter's box and start doing it. And be the man God's called you to be in the earth today. Now, I'm not talking about all the macho mumbo jumbo. I'm talking about the man who is willing to lay down his life for his wife and for his family. The man who will be that person who will stand in the gap for his family, who will sacrifice for his family. We need that today. We don't need men running off doing their own thing. We need men being men of God, humbling themselves before God. Now, fourth thing I said there, I've always said this, head needs a neck. Needs to be connected. Connected to the body. And God has blessed us as He brings husband and wife together in a unity and a oneness in Him. Number five, He says here in this verse 7, a man needs to have understanding. He must live with his wife in understanding. Now, men, God has given you two ears and one mouth. There is a divine economy to that. Now, I know a few men in the world who have more words to expend in a day than the women that they're married to, but only a few. Most of the men that I know are probably in that economy. I think what one psychologist said, the average woman has about 25,000 words a day and the average man about 10,000 a day. And when most men get off from work, they've already expended how many? 9,999. They've got a grunt left when they get home. Because the only way that she knows he's home is he grunt. Can I get a witness on that from anybody? Okay, all right. I'm speaking the language here. You notice Miss Audrey's not in here. Freedom in Christ. Oh, boy. Understanding. To understand, that means you've got to do what? Listen. Listen. My daddy used to tell me and my brother, he said, looks like you boys are going to have to learn it the hard way because your heads are just hard as brick. Well, you could say that about a lot of us men. But there needs to come a softness and an understanding that we will listen. Listen. How many times Miss Audrey said, why don't you stop and ask for directions? And I didn't. I mean, we're going to have a lot of testimony time today over dinner. Okay, so you got it? A man needs to be understanding. And let me tell you guys, this doesn't come to you naturally. You got to work at this. If you're looking for one day the heavens to open and immediately ask, no, God ain't going to do it that. Because God wants you to exercise your faith. And that means to listen. All right, number six, he must be, and the word I put in, I love this word, read one author, he interpreted this as being chivalrous. Now, when the scripture talks about, and now I want you to remember, we're in a time where What were armies in that day doing with women and children when they invaded countries? Kill them, take advantage of them, all that stuff. Now, he's not referring to a woman's emotional stamina, to her physical. Let me tell you, if men had to have the children, we wouldn't have multiple children in any family. There'd be one child, and that's it. Right? Do all you women agree with me that have had more than one child? All right, then put your hand up. I want to see it. Yes. All right. I want to see that. All right. What he's talking about here is being chivalrous about treating a woman as a gift from God. Because who gave that woman to you? God did. In eternity past, he knew he was going to give you that specific woman. She was created with you in mind. Just as surely as Eve was created with Adam in mind. So that they could be one together. Now, does it mean you're very different? I like what the French say, vive la différence. I like the fact that Miss Audrey does not look like me. I love that. And I love the fact that we were drawn to one another. We are polar opposites. Our personalities are totally different from one another. That can be an irritant someday. If you're not walking in the Spirit of God. But oh, what a joy it is when God brings you together. That's God's way of making sure that we're never going to get bored. If a man tells me he's bored with his marriage, I'll show you a man that is not listening. A man that is not paying attention. Are you understanding this so far? Okay. Number 7, he must honor his wife as a fellow heir in the grace of life. Honor her as a person that he's going to spend eternity with in heaven. Fellow heir, co-equal heir in heaven forever. And finally, Peter said, do this so that your prayers may not be hindered. A husband must be obedient to God in these matters, because if he's not obedient, it's going to hinder his prayer life. It's going to stand in the way. Broken relationship stands in the way of our relationship with God. And the primary relationship that you have is with Jesus. And then what's the next one? That person that Jesus placed in your life for you to be one with. Do you understand this today? I haven't flowered it up very much. I've just read the Bible to you and made a few comments. Let's pray. Just a moment, we're going to open the altar, and maybe you'd like to come and pray. Maybe there are husbands and wives that'd like to come and pray together today at the altar. Maybe you've never received Jesus into your life want you to know today. You can ask him to come into your life, and he'll come in and save you and make you a new person. This is your day. If you want to come and pray for your marriage today, this is your day. The door is open. Holy Spirit of God, right now, we just open the altar and ask you to come with power and presence. Lord, I'm praying that all the stuff that I said today, that you'd be the editor. And Lord, you would bring your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name. This is your time. I want to pray a prayer for our marriages right now. And anybody's marriage, could it be better today? Would you like for it to be better than it is? Amen. I got my hand up. I got my hand up. I want it to be the best. The best. Let's pray together. Lord, right now, I'm praying your healing power over marriages right now in this fellowship, in this body. Lord, I'm praying for healing from fear. Fear, God. I'm asking you, Lord, that, past abuses, Jesus, in your name and your power, that you will exit those from our lives. Lord, I'm praying that husbands and wives will begin to do the right thing under God today. Realizing that we serve you, Jesus. I pray for your power. Lord, I pray for some here today that have drug childhood experiences into their marriage. Lord, times where they were abused physically, emotionally, sexually. Lord, they didn't want to bring these things in there, but they came with a package. Right now, Jesus, we're asking you to come and to heal those hurts. Lord, so that the people who are here in the sound of my voice can experience the power of God. God, I'm praying that you would put families back together, homes back together. God, I'm praying for people right now who would like to be married. God, I pray that you will open the door with your person in their lives. I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that in no case any of us would settle for second best. I'm asking you for God's best for all the marriages, for all the people that are here today. We pray your power and your strength in Jesus' name. Amen.